plushcare.com.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning, happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Hope your morning is starting off right for you. And you just got me today. Phil Devitt is off for a few days, so it's just me and you. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And I hope you got out and partook in some Veterans Day ceremonies and remembrances yesterday. Got to see parade. I was here working the whole time, but I saw some of the videos and photos that were posted online. Looks like it was a good day weather-wise, you know, once the morning rain stopped. And it looks like we got a chance to really show our veterans how much we appreciate them. So we can let them know every day. It doesn't just have to be on Veterans Day, but glad that everything went off without a hitch yesterday. Today, we have a lot of different things that we can discuss. We're going to be joined later on in the program around 8 o'clock by Stephanie Pickup from Carefree Homes and Victoria Grisella from the United Way of Greater New Bedford. We're going to be talking about, well, someone out there needs a new roof but can't afford it. Someone out there is getting ready to enter the winter season, concerned about what's going to happen. And that is why Carefree Homes and United Way are teaming up for the 2025 New Year New Roof Giveaway. They've been doing it for a number of years now, and they're going to give us all the details coming up later on. So maybe you fit the criteria of somebody who's looking for a new roof. Maybe you know someone who is. You're going to want to tune in at 8 o'clock for that. And while we have Victoria here, we can also get a little preview of what's coming up Saturday with the Hunger Heroes food drop at Aldi in Dartmouth. Hopefully we'll see you there from 10 to noon. But yesterday, we talked about this briefly yesterday morning, that Mattel had put out these dolls for the movie Wicked that had the incorrect website for the movie on the back of the box. It, instead of saying wickedmovie.com, which is the movie for the website, it said wicked.com, which is an adult website. And so they were recalling these dolls. Well, apparently, it's not just the dolls. It's other toys as well. Because yesterday, I went into Walmart when I left here, over here in Fairhaven. I had to pick up some prescriptions. And I needed paper towels. So as I'm walking around the store, I said, oh, let me go over to the toy section, see if they have any Wicked dolls, see if they pulled them or how they're handling it. Because, well, I'll get into it in a minute, but I'd written a story already about how one store handled it. And when I went over there, it looked like they had put stickers over all of the toys that they did have, which was, I don't even know what they were, but they weren't the dolls. But they had put stickers over them that said Walmart or something, and they had a, just basically covered up that section of the box. I'm assuming that the website was under that because I have no idea why those stickers were on those toys otherwise. But I had written a story because I saw someone post on social media that they had gone shopping yesterday morning and actually found the dolls still on the shelf. And obviously these are going to become collector's items if they're being recalled. So she was able to buy one doll at Target and then went to Kohl's and found the other doll and was able to get a complete set. So I don't know if anybody's looking for those dolls, but at least as of yesterday morning, Target hadn't covered them over. That might have changed by now or taken them off the shelf. But Kohl's had. And what Kohl's had done is they had crossed it out with a Sharpie on the box and then placed a sticker on it. So what she did, being the handy person that she is, she peeled the Kohl's sticker off, no problem, without damaging the box, and then put a little rubbing alcohol on a Q-tip and ran that over the Sharpie on the box, and the Sharpie washed away. And so now she has the original box with the misprinted website on it. Sure to be a collector's item. So if you are interested in getting one of those, maybe give that a try before they realize how easy it is to undo what Kohl's did, and then they end up having to actually pull them off the shelves. My guess is that this was a temporary fix until Mattel could get a new shipment out to the stores to replace, because obviously this is a popular movie. And they're going to want those toys out because people are going to want to buy them. So rather than pull them off the shelves and have no wicked product, this is a way to kind of get it by until they get, because, you know, Mattel's got to print up new boxes, package the toys. It's not going to be quick. And in the meantime, you can get yourself something that is sure to become a collector's item. Although, when everybody collects something, it doesn't really gain value. As I learned in the 90s, when, you know, my 80s comic book collecting and toy collecting gave way to everybody doing it in the 90s, and then, you know, the bottom fell out on anything being worth anything. So things that I had spent all of my money collecting and saving up and all of that when I was younger became, you know, yard sale fodder when I was older. And then, of course, if I just hung on to it, I could have brought it over to Kojo's Toy World and made some money off of it. But that's the way that it goes. That's the cycle that you get with those things. And maybe that'll happen with these. Excuse me. Sorry, I had to sneeze. You know, maybe this will be one of those things where it'll flood the market. People will get rid of them, and then years from now, nobody will still have them because they got rid of them at yard sales and flea markets and stuff like that, and then the few people who do have them remaining, it'll be worth something. But, you know, it's if you're going to collect things, you got to be ready to collect them. The only thing I ever moved on quickly in my years of collecting things were Beanie Babies, and not even regular Beanie Babies. I held on to those probably too long, but then not long enough, because one day when my son was like 6 or 7, maybe a little younger, we were cleaning out my mother-in-law's attic, and there were all of our bins of Beanie Babies that my ex-wife and I collected while we were dating. And we're like, oh, remember when we thought these were going to be worth something? Oh, they're not worth anything anymore. Here, Adam, you can play with them. And then we just, I forget what we did with the rest of them. I think we just donated them. And now, as it turns out, some of them actually do have value because the documentaries about Beanie Babies and then the Beanie Baby movie that came out kind of made it so that people wanted to collect them again. If we just left them in that attic for another 15 years, well, she moved, so we had to get rid of them anyway, but still, we could have had, you know, something for our investment. Because I was there when those stores opened in, was it 97, 98? We would go to, because we had, the way we kind of scheduled our UMass Dartmouth classes is we would have an early class and then we would have a free period after that. So that, you know, we would just get to class, go to our first class, and then we would like go have breakfast. Or have some study time or something. And so we usually had 10 o'clock open. And 10 o'clock was when the stores in the mall opened, and we would go there and we'd be in line with other people waiting to see if there was a new Beanie Baby shipment. It was sad. It was lame. I know. But we were young. We had disposable income. And we didn't, we weren't partiers or drinkers or anything like that. So that was kind of our thrill. Was chasing the Beanie Babies. And we amassed a pretty good collection. But we held on to them all, except for the teeny beanies from McDonald's. We went to every McDonald's and bought every teeny beanie they would sell us. Because back then you could get your McDonald's toy for like $3. You didn't have to buy a Happy Meal. You could say, can I just get the toy? And they would sell it to you for like $3. And some McDonald's would sell us teeny beanies by the case. If you knew the right people. So we had a trunk full of teeny beanies and we were turning those over. We held on to some, but we sold a lot. We were like meeting people in parking lots at 10:30 at night. Like, I've got mail. You get the money, I've got the mail. I forget what other teeny beanies there were. I just remember Mel, the little koala. Because back then you could name a koala after Mel Gibson. But yes, if you are someone who is interested in collecting those wicked dolls, you can get those, I guess, at Kohl's. And you can follow the same technique she used. Peel the sticker off. And then put a little rubbing alcohol on a Q-tip and wipe off the Sharpie. Which I didn't even know wipes off Sharpie. I'm going to keep that in mind for when I get it all over my hands. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. The other part of collecting things like that is you've got both, you know, not only are people going to be looking for it now, but there will be, you know, the wave of nostalgia that comes later. If you walk into Kojo's Toy World and walk around and look at some of those toys, you'll see that you've got things that you would say to yourself, why would anybody want that toy? But then that one person comes in and that's the thing that they've been looking for. Like you've got to, one thing that I've learned in that collecting world is you've got to put aside what you think is cool and think about what people connect with. Like, I'm trying to think of what the action figures were that I saw posted recently. I don't know. I don't think Kojo's posted them. I think it was like on one of the nostalgia pages I follow on Facebook, but it was the food that was also had like come to life. So it was like a burger that's a person, like a shake. I don't know. Food Fighters, I think they were called, something like that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, those were dumb. Those were stupid toys. And then you see in the comments, oh, my God, I wish I still had my collection of those. I was like, well, I guess, you know, it's what matters to you. I'm sure you have some toys from when you were younger that you wish you still had, that you had held on to. If you had those pedal cars, you definitely wish you had held on to those. Those things go for big bucks now. Because when I was younger, we had those. I had a Dukes of Hazzard one that looked like the General Lee. But then that got replaced by a Power Wheels. And I think you've got a lot of kids that grew up with Power Wheels that can tell you they were fun until the battery died. And then you couldn't find a replacement battery because you'd go to the store, they were sold out. So I think you've all got like that one thing that you wish you had held on to because you thought it was obsolete at the time. Later turned out it would be a huge collectible. So if you can think of any of those, give me a call, 508-996-0500. You know, I try to have some different topics that aren't just the hard news of the day, but in the news department, there's a story that came out of Sandwich last night. You can read about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, but we don't really have a lot of details right now. But apparently yesterday morning, Sandwich police were called to Quaker Meeting House Road for a burned SUV, an SUV that had been on fire. And when they got there, inside that vehicle, they found human remains. And there's no more details at this time than that. But that is a very concerning situation because does that mean, you know, somebody was in a car that caught on fire and couldn't get out for some reason? Was somebody killed and then put into a car and that car set on fire? The DA, Robert Galloboy, said that there is no threat to public safety, but how are you so sure? What do you know that you're not telling us that you think that there is no threat to public safety if there was a person burned in a vehicle? You know, was this somebody was killed somewhere else and they set the car on fire with the body in it to dispose of the body? It's a concerning situation, but they are saying that the public doesn't need to be concerned. There is no threat to the public. I don't know about that. I'm still a little concerned until you tell us more information. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Let's take our first break of the morning, and we'll be back in a few moments. Deep inside, I hope you'll feel it too. Feel it too. Waited on a line of waited on a line. Just to be the next to be with you. And welcome back in. That, of course, is Mr. Big. To be with you and really kind of the end of the hairband era. That was one of the last kind of big hits of that time period before grunge took over. But that's all right. We still love that music here and we still play it all the time. And if you love that music too, well, let me know. I hear from a lot of people about the music that I play and for, you know, being a talk station, we're really not supposed to play music. I like the fact that we can bond over some of this music, stuff that you haven't heard for a long time. And also, you know, the older folks who say, I don't really know any of this music, but some of it's not bad. Because, you know, sometimes I get a little bit worried. I'm like, oh, I'm going to hear from somebody for playing this. But for the most part, I think people have come to realize Tim's just going to play some weird stuff. So 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I was talking before about these collectible dolls, and I do have the story up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, these Wicked dolls from the movie that have the improper website listed on the back. And I still can't for the life of me figure out how that happened. I still can't figure out how it became, you know, first of all, printed on the box, but how did that not pass through a number of checks? How did the people behind the Wicked movie not warn, I think it's Universal Pictures, how do they not warn the toy manufacturer, Mattel, hey, just so you know, you might run into this problem, be careful. You would think they would be telling all of their partners, but maybe they were afraid that they would scare them off if they told them that. I can't imagine that would hurt the licensing deal. Mattel's going to say, oh no, we don't want to make these toys that are going to sell in the millions just because there's a website closely associated with the name of your movie that makes adult films. That seems like a stretch to me. I also, I got a question from Participation Trophy Wife on App Chat when we were talking about that, the human remains found in the burned SUV. I'm just looking something up. Hold on. So she asked where it was found on Quaker Meeting House Road because it is a long road, and they did not get into the specifics about where it was, but it was, they took over Oak Crest Cove Recreation Center as kind of like a command center for the, for looking into it, which I'm just kind of taking a look at the map here. Which is, I guess, so it's near where the they have the flea market there, the sandwich bazaar. So I'm guessing it happened closer to that area of Quaker Meeting House Road, which there's a fire department right there, and a police state. There's a police station rather, right there. So that might have been why they chose that area, because it's close to the police station to have the media meet them. So I don't know where it happened on Quaker Meeting House Road, but that's the only details that I can find. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Okay. Just a little tired. Overdid it with the walk-in yesterday. I'm feeling sore now. Anyway, I have a story for you today.
Okay.
Because I've been listening to you. It's kind of related. That McDonald's that is on Codswell Street near the Market Basket,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what year they opened. I couldn't possibly remember. It was a long, 20, 25 years ago. I don't know. It was a long time ago. And they opened up nice new McDonald's over there. And then about, I would have to say, not even a week went by. I started getting phone calls. And they were calling me thinking that I was McDonald's. I said, you have the wrong number. You got to look it up better, you know, because the calls kept coming in. Like, any specials this week? I'd like to order a big, I have a big order if you could have it ready. And I said, listen, you don't have McDonald's. How many times do I have to tell you? But then I started getting calls from other voices. It was other people calling. I said, okay, so I called them up. I couldn't call them up. I kept trying to call. I couldn't call them up. I went down there finally. And I said, listen, I'm getting calls from people thinking they're calling you, McDonald's. He said, no, that's impossible, ma'am. I said, no, it's not, because I'm getting the calls. He said, well, it could be jokers. I said, yeah, but you need to look it up. So I was so upset by it, I went back the next day because I didn't get nothing out of that. Calls were still coming in. I went back again. I said, listen, you have my phone number. And I showed them my number, and it was my bill, because I didn't have a cell phone way back then.
Right.
And I said, listen, this is my number right here. He looked at it and goes, Because I'll have to talk to one of the managers, because I was just talking to anybody that was serving. So I said, this is impossible. He says, come back tomorrow. I said, I'm not coming back tomorrow. I'm getting calls at night, too. I'm getting damn tired of it, you know. So I went home. The calls kept coming in. I know I did something I shouldn't have done, but I couldn't help it. I was getting mad because they weren't helping me. I was getting calls. So finally, I got a call, and it was a man. And I forgot what he was asking me. It was too long ago. I said, listen, come in all day today. McDonald's was free all day. Bring your family, bring your kids. Bring everybody, bring them in. Everything's free, all you want. He goes, what? Yeah? I said, yeah, you know they just recently opened. So this is a big deal, so don't miss it. It's only one day. I'm sure a lot of people went down there. And then I showed up. I said, I need to speak to whoever's running this place. And he gave me a name, a winter something. I guess the owner.
Yeah, Winterhalter. Yeah, Charlie Winterhalter used to own all the local McDonald's. Yeah.
Well, I did remember that, the winter thing. And he says, well, I'll give you his number. I says, you mean I got to call somebody? He goes, yeah, he's not here. He doesn't stay here. I says, well, I need to speak to somebody here. So I'm getting these calls, and you could see all kinds of people coming in asking, free food today? And I felt bad about that. So I turned around and I admitted it to the guy. I said, listen, these people are asking for free food because I told them on my line, my phone that I've had over 10 years, and I'm not changing my number. You guys have to change your number. He says, we're new here. This is the number we have. It's in the system, and we're not going to change it. We can't change it. I said, you're going to change it. And I'm going to be sending people here all the time if that's what you want to do. So then he took my name, and I got a letter because for some reason that guy, Winter, whatever, couldn't call me. I don't know why. I got a letter, and it said, our number is in the system. We're not going to change it. We can't change it. He says, I understand you've had your number for a long time. And he said, if you want, I'll give you something. If you change your number, I'll give you money. I'll give you something. He says, come down. I'm going to be in New Bedford. And so I went over there, and it was him. And he says, man, we can't change our number. It's a big deal for us to have to change. I said, I don't know how you could be issued my phone number. I don't know. And he said to me, well, please, if you could do that. He said, I'll give you some free meals. I'll give you a card. You can come in. And if you want, he says, I'm going to give you something that nobody else has yet. And I said, well, what could that be? He says, well, the Beanie Babies, because you mentioned the beanies. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm going to give you the entire set, even the ones that are not even issued yet. I'm going to give you a box, the entire set of Beanie Babies. He said, and I'll give you free food. He says, you know, because we can't take it out of our system. It's connected all over the place. And I felt bad. I said, well, what am I going to do with Beanie Babies? But yeah, he gave me the whole big box, and I accepted it, and he gave me free food for like a month. Christ, I was bringing the kids there. but it was horrible in the beginning of it because people were calling me at night. And even when they were closed, it was 1 or 2 in the morning. I was getting calls for orders. I said, you got to be kidding me. I have to do something. I've had this number for so long. I don't know what year they opened. Can you look that up?
I know it was probably the late 90s at least, because as long as I've been working at the Standard Times, I started there in 2001, and it was always over there.
And I thought to myself, gee, what? My kids are already 19, 20 years old. And I kept the whole box. I just opened. It was quite a big box. I opened the box, and they were all wrapped individually, separate. Some of them like doubles and three of them even of the same. And I just stuffed them in my closet and left them there for a long, long time. And then I had a close friend. It was years later that she had her first grandbaby. I said, hey, how would you like a nice big box of Beanie Babies, the whole set? They weren't giving them out anymore, you know. So there I was with a big box, and I gave them all to her, wrapped it up like a gift, and it was nice. But they had my phone number. Now, how could that happen?
I have no idea. I mean, the only thing I could think of is if your number was like one digit off, but you're saying it was the exact same number?
That's right. It was the same number, and I showed him my phone. I said, look, I'm getting calls. He says, well, I don't understand that. I said, you're getting calls on the store? He goes, oh, well, we must be getting calls. We're open. So that was something of a mystery. I could never understand that.
I just looked it up.
Yeah, he gave me.
The first batch of Teeny Beanies were given away in 1997, and the last time was 2000. So it would have had to have been sometime during that time period.
Yep. They had just recently opened, and I would go there to get coffee. After our walk, me and my friends go in there and get coffee. All the time we went there when they first opened up. And then it happened. All of a sudden, bang, I started getting calls. And a lot of times when they would call, I would just say, when it first started, I'd say, you have the wrong number. Oh, you have the wrong number. Oh, you have the wrong number. And then finally, I had to go in there. But yeah, they gave me the whole set when the whole set wasn't even out yet.
See, what's weird to me is who calls McDonald's? Like, I never would have thought to call McDonald's and place an order because, people didn't answer the phone if you called McDonald's. I used to call my friend that worked there, and nobody would ever pick up the phone.
Yep. So I wonder, are they even worth anything if I would have still had that whole box today?
I think so. I think the teeny beanies still have some value. Some of the Beanie Babies don't because so many of them were, you know, people had so many of them. But some of them still retain some value.
I never opened not one package. They were still in packages. And there were some papers with it. I guess the whole story about the beanies. There was some papers and some envelopes. And I just shoved the whole box in my closet. And they stayed there a few years, like I said. Never opened one, just the big box I opened. Well, I felt bad. And I told him, I said, listen, my doctors, everybody I'm connected to has my phone number. And it was a landline. It was not a cell phone. It was a landline number.
Looks like some of them go for, you know, around $5-$10 each.
Yeah. How many were there anyway? Was it
I don't know. I think they did. I don't know how many they did. I think probably like 6 or 8 each run.
Hmm.
Because usually they would do one a week.
Yeah. Every time I went to get my coffee, they would offer me food. And after a couple of months, it died down. It didn't have. I mean, I wasn't really buying that much McDonald's food, but I went there with friends. We'd get breakfast free. It was good for a while, but we didn't go there a lot, you know.
Did you ever see that movie, Super Size Me?
Oh, I don't know if there was even a Super Size, was there?
Yeah, there would have been then, but did you ever see that movie? So the guy, the filmmaker, Morgan Spurlock, he ate nothing but McDonald's for 30 days.
Yeah, and he has a pot too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he made a couple more films. He died last year.
No wonder.
I think he had cancer.
Yeah. That's too bad. Oh, that seems to be the main killer. Well, no, it's not anymore, isn't it? Isn't it a heart attack now or something?
Yeah, heart disease is the number one killer.
The number one, yeah. Well, thanks for the time, but I heard you say the babies. I said, let me give him this story.
Yeah, if you had a whole case of them, if they were $5-$10 each right now, you know, you would have been doing pretty well.
Yeah, well, I wasn't bothering them. I mean, my kids weren't kids. So, but I just thought I'd tell you that.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, have a good day.
You too. And I think we've all, you know, had collectibles that we just decided, you know what, why am I still holding on to these? I had the entire collection of the first couple of series of the Simpsons figures that came out. And because the first Simpsons figures that came out in the 90s were terrible. But then in the early 2000s, they came out with a line from Playmates that was pretty good. And at the time, I was a huge Simpsons fan. Like, I had, you know, Simpsons stuff in my house, and I had an extra bedroom. I had just moved out on my own, and I had an extra bedroom that I had taken all my collectibles and kind of put into that room, and I had a spare TV because back then we didn't have DVRs, kids. So I had another TV in there with a VCR so that I could record things and watch other things in the living room. And then there was an extra bed in there in case anybody wanted to stay over, but nobody ever did. And so I put these toys that I had, these collectible toys, on some shelves in there. And then, well, the whole room ended up becoming shelves. And I started collecting the Simpsons figures that came out. And I had the whole play sets and all the figures and everything. And it was pretty impressive when you walked into the room. And then when my, you know, soon-to-be wife had moved in with me, and then about a year after we got married, you know, my son was born. And so we had to make that room his room. So I packed up all those toys and held on to them for the next, you know, 16, 17 years. And then finally I was cleaning out my basement. I said, I'm just getting rid of these. Like, nobody wants these. And then sure enough, if I had kept them, could have brought them to Kojo's. Because I had like the Springfield Main Street playset. I had the Simpsons house. I had, you know, Moe's Tavern, Krusty Burger. I had everything. And this was in the early days of eBay. So when I couldn't find certain figures, I would go to eBay and get them. Like, you couldn't find Lisa Simpson anywhere. So I went to eBay and I think I paid like $40 for an $8 figure. Now you go into stores, the figures are $40. Like if you go into Walmart and you're looking in the toy section, you see the toys, the action figures, all those things are like, you know, $15, $20 for some of those dolls, for some of those action figures, for some of the, and you know, you start getting into the vehicles and the playsets, and you're talking $40, $50, $100 for some of those things. But then if you go into the electronics section, like over by the video games, they have collectible figures and toys and things like that where you're looking at $35 for the action figure. You know, it's a deluxe edition that comes in a box and all those kind of things. So you're talking about big bucks for the people who want to collect those things. And is it going to have return on the value? I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, if you can buy it in Walmart, it's probably not going to have a high collector value. Because that means there's a lot of them. And I just got a text from my brother mentioning all the video games that I had. I know. I wish I hadn't had to sell those all, but I needed the money. And I let my entire collection go in one shot. I had Magnavox Odyssey. I had a Texas Instruments TI-99. Intellivision. I think ColecoVision. Virtual Boy. Nintendo. Super Nintendo. Sega Genesis. And games for all those. The Virtual Boy was the thing that everybody wanted. Everybody would ask me if they could play that. And I felt bad because I never got the stand replaced. So you had to like put it on the counter and bend over and stick your face in it. But if you never heard of Virtual Boy, it was Nintendo's first attempt at virtual reality. And it was red and black, 3D, but it was like you could only play it for 10 minutes and then you'd get a headache. But it was pretty cool. It wasn't quite as good as the, the Quest? Not quite that good at all. Looked more like something out of a 1980s movie about, you know, video games. Anyway, I got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
And the earth was last night's bed. I don't know where I'm going. Only God knows where I've been. I'm a devil on the run. A six-gun lover. A gamble in the wind. Yeah!
And welcome back in. You know, one thing that a lot of people are thinking about as they're looking at the future of their energy bills, they're thinking to themselves, hey, I get it. Things might change. New administration coming in. Who knows how things are going to change? Listen, the bottom line is if the electric company is already getting what they're getting from you, they're going to keep getting that from you, right? So how can you offset that? Well, one way you can offset that is by installing solar panels on your home. But a lot of you might be thinking, well, I live in an old historic home. And I don't want to ruin the look of that by putting something modern on it like solar panels. Let me tell you, head on over to the Isaacson Solar Facebook page. I was looking at some of the installs that they've done recently on there. And you wouldn't even know that there were solar panels on some of these homes. In fact, take a look at what they did recently at a home from the 1800s. Did not do anything to change the historic character of that home, yet now they have the benefit of going solar. And they can do it in a variety of ways. They can add a carport or a solar pavilion to your property so that you get the added benefit of having one of those structures, but also collecting solar power. They can put the panels in your yard. They can put them back on your property. Whatever it is that you think is the best way to go, they can make it happen. And they can come up with all kinds of ideas for you. So even if you're thinking, I don't know how I would go solar, but I want to, reach out to Isaacson Solar. Just go to their website, isaacsonsolar.com, set up an appointment. They'll come out and talk to you about it, and they'll tell you exactly how you can go solar. And if you can't, if it's not a good fit, they'll let you know that too. And then you can walk away. And even when you do decide to go solar, they're going to be your partner. They're going to work with you hand in hand and be with you every step of the way. So again, go to their website, isaacsonsolar.com. Check out their Facebook page to see some of their great installs and see if going solar is right for you. I got to take one more break here before the end of the hour. We will be right back.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.